Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome again. This is Great Inferno. April 24th is Friday, 9 o'clock on the dot. You know, weird thing though, man. I tried to set up this Block Talk Radio thing. It says I was supposed to have a show at 3 a.m. on the 25th. That's pretty odd. Pretty weird. I don't know. I didn't do that. And who the heck is gonna get up at 3 a.m. in the morning and do a show? Not me, not the Great Inferno, I'll tell you that, but I was lucky to go ahead and squeeze that in at 9 p.m., so to some of you to call, it's probably wondering why it's saying that I don't have a show until like 3 a.m., and that's what happened. So fear not, my dear friends, you can still call in 347-884-8125. You probably gonna have to try a couple times before you can get in. Let me open up some online here, and we are gonna keep going. We got so much to talk about. So many things on my plate today. What did I do today? Well, a lot of things I did today. Well, first of all, I did work, you know. I did some work, things that I love to do. Yeah. Well, actually, I do. Like, I take care of, live animals and stuff like that, so. All right, and join me on any chat room. You can go to blogtalkradio.com/Great Inferno. You can also listen live there. You can just click on the, on-air button there. Or I don't think you have to. You can just pop that thing in and, you know, blogtalkradio.com. /Great Inferno, and you are there. If you want to join a chat room, you do have to click chat now. There you go. Otherwise, join the fun. 347-884-8125, and you know, so I can slap you around when you call in. Let's open up some line. I believe these are my co-hosts. 3797. What's new?
Not much. Just trying to get some exercise done today, yesterday, and the day before. I went shopping with my husband, and I was shocked to find out that I gained inches. And I was like, "How did that
that's
happen?"
Not good.
Yeah, I used to be between,
There's like running from the couch to the fridge count, because I do that a lot.
It has to be hard work. I mean, it is hard work in the beginning. Like, you have to exercise for 30 minutes straight, or
right.
It doesn't count as exercise. My husband's a fitness nutrition specialist. And
I want to get my six pack back. There, you know, he's on my six pack. You know,
well,
I want to get it back. He's on vacation. He's in Mexico.
What?
No, a friend named Six Pack.
Oh, you know.
I want to get my six pack back, and then he's on vacation. But so that's what happened to you today, huh? So what else?
Went to the store, went to the post office, dropped off some products to a customer.
Mm-hmm.
That's about it. I mean, I came home today. I decided that I would go to back to sleep after dropping off my husband at work, and I actually woke up like after 10 o'clock. And the other 2 days, though, before that, I was waking up early, you know, like before 7 o'clock, and then
mm-hmm.
yesterday was like about 8:30 or so.
Yeah.
And, yeah,
all right,
I mean,
well,
I think I get a lot more done that way.
Okay, let's jump into that real quick, and there's so much things to talk about, so we'll jump into this real quick. I don't know if you've seen the news. I don't know if you probably have the TV on. You guys probably have the internet. the information superhighway. So especially if you have cable, you have Fox News, CNN, and all that stuff. No, Dalai Lama actually is visiting the United States. You know, the great holiness, the holiness Dalai Lama. Okay, he's actually having pictures of here holding a mug with a Fox News logo in it. Dilemma. Okay. Well, he actually praised American democracy and said he thinks President Obama is realistic and open. And in, he had an interview with the Fox News during his 5-city tour of the United States. So the Tibetan spiritual leader, in addition to discussing the value of kindness and compassion, spoke of his admiration for the United States. Quote, "I think basically America is a champion of freedom, democracy, liberty," he said. That's end quote. He said before the series of lectures at the University of California, Santa Barbara. Now, with all he has, with Dalai Lama's visit and him saying praising America for its democracy and all this talk. Do you think actually would help, somewhat lift the United States, gain some friends outside the United States? What do you think?
First of all, I don't know who the Dalai Lama is, but is he somebody that, people
Dalai
worship
Lama.
Him or something?
Dalai Lama.
You think he's God? I mean, I know he's not God.
No, he's not God.
He's
I don't think he's even close. He's a human, but he gains respect. He's a monk, Tibetan monk. He's like the highest. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you can compare that, but you can compare that to the Pope,
What kind of religion? Buddhist,
Buddhist monk.
Yeah, all right, yeah. I don't know. I don't think he's any more important than anybody else. I mean,
right.
Did he come here last April or was it just this April? Because I heard about him coming here before.
I don't know. I don't know if it is just recently. So the question is, do you think this would help the United States to gain some? I know the ratings for the United States, especially in Europe and all that, other countries are really really low. So. Do you think this would help? This would help us. This would help the United States to gain some friends, or to get some approval rating go up.
Maybe a little bit,
but for the
wrong reasons.
Well, it does. Just because your approval rating go, it's 90%, it doesn't mean you're right.
Exactly.
That you're doing something right. I mean, look, if you look at the Abraham Lincoln back in the day. You know what I mean? So I think my opinion is, it'll probably help the United States to get some, friends and approval rating in there. But, that's, to me, my opinion is not, that's not what I'm looking for.
Right.
I think that's what the Obama administration is looking for.
Mm-hmm.
It's because of the change. That's what they're looking for. They want to gain some friends. They want to kiss butt. To people, even he had shake hand with Chavez and an opening talks with Iran and everything, so just to get some approval rating or some, whatever they need to do.
Yeah,
so what are you gonna say?
I think that I'm gonna I don't think it's gonna get America friends. Because I define a friend as somebody who's there for you, whether you're doing well or not doing well. That's going to be sticking by you, not somebody that.
Well, in Dalai Lama, Dalai Lama visiting the United States and saying that, United States, I'm giving the United States a pat on the back. I mean, I think that would gain some friends. That would gain some, approval rating should, go up somehow.
Well, I think a lot of people define friends differently than some people. Some people define a friend as, hey, yeah, that person knows Arnold Schwarzenegger, so I want to be his friend. they don't want to be their friend unless they know Arnold Schwarzenegger. You know what I mean? So that's what I'm
saying. Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Like,
I'm a governor now. I'm a governor now.
You know what I'm saying?
No.
Like, they shouldn't want to be just our friends because
of course
somebody
not.
Famous is visiting us. So that's what I mean. The approval rating will probably go up, but I'd say it would be for the wrong reasons. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I totally agree. I totally agree. So let's jump in the new topic here. Speaking of the approval rating and also the approval, you know, the Obama administration, you know, that really dying to get. You know, a meeting with Chavez and, you know, opening up table for talks for Iranians and all that. It's all politics, people will say, but, you know, but recently, you know, that when President Obama went to or met up with Chavez, actually, Mr. Chavez gave him a book. You know, what kind of book was it? You know, a lot of people say, well, what kind of book? You know, they're wondering and they're asking what book it was. Well, actually, this book that President Hugo Chavez, it wasn't the first to discover that the book was actually it's been into our campuses and in colleges and stuff. So actually, the book is called "Open Veins of Latin America: The Five Centuries of the Pillage of a Continent." Has been identified on the syllabi of at least 20 U.S. colleges and universities since 2003. So, I mean, we have liberal campuses and all of that, and I think this is, and it's been taught for decades. On the American in campuses and university, so it's an anti-American book, and it tells you how for 500 years Europe and then the United States back then exploited Latin America, leaving it impoverished and governed by corrupt leaders, and it outlined how U.S. capitalistic forces purportedly rate the region's natural resources and Latin America's own development. So they exploited trade agreements and the whole corruption of the United States and Europe and taking advantage of Latin America. I think that's what it says. Now the question here is why do you think Hugo Chavez would give this to a liberal guy? I mean, I think Barack Obama, but I think Barack Obama is not any stranger to that teaching or to that book. Or, you know, I mean, what do you think? Why did you think Chavez gave this to President Obama?
Because he probably thinks that if he so-called opens his eyes to see if Hugo Chavez so-called opens Barack Obama's eyes to see how America has damaged Latin America, that Barack Obama will decide to make a law and change the laws to free them from their so-called, quote-unquote bondage,
Right, or whereas, capitalism. See, the problem here, though, recorded there. There's some events that have been recorded in that book that happened like year in the past. That somehow so Hugo Chavez is just in this what you call bondage, and there's a lot of he thinks that America is going to steal his oil. And there's a lot of professors that they acknowledge the book has a particular slant or, a bias. You can read them and you can decide yourself. I'm not telling you that I have not read the book. You know, you can go to Amazon.com or to, your website, shoppingsuperhighway.com, right?
Yep, you can go to that sign up as preferred customer, earn free rewards by going to Books A Million through our website. You can go to different, even closeout books. You know, maybe it's in the closeout books, get books cheaper that way.
Right. Yes, Eli, and I do agree that you said something about opening it, you know, thinks, well, maybe I can open his eyes, you know, like, to what, Chavez? To your, you know, hallucination? So you're to your, you know, things, let's rule the Americas together thing, that I'm going to be the president for the rest of my life? I mean, it's, you know, capitalism, socially, you know, because I, believe it or not, you know, somehow with Barack Obama's beliefs and records, and, you know, he, I think, you know, he embraces socialism. You know, that's, I mean, it's hard to hear that, but, you know, that is my opinion on our president. You know, I'm not bashing him, you know, but he just had this wrong thought process and everything. So what do you think? Do you think Barack Obama will give in?
I think yes, unless the Lord
tied up President Hugo Chavez, he would he would ride along with this Bolivarian whatever thing that they're doing down in Venezuela with Cuba. I think he's gonna have a second. He's not gonna jump in there right away. I mean, you know, it's President Obama is a smart man. You know, if he's siding with Barack, with Hugo Chavez in all of them, you know, all this, all he's doing is they're giving him like bad reps, or, you know, a lot of people angry about it. I don't think he's gonna go with that. You know, I don't think he's, you know, because he likes to be on top. He likes to be the talk of a town. He likes, I mean, of course he's going to be the talk of the town because he's the president for kind of like, every time he moves things, he's, you know, he says something, he's on the news. But I don't think he's going to jump in right away. But, you know, that's just my opinion. You know, he would like to, you know, he's a smart guy. So I'm just, that's just my opinion. Well, we'll talk about that later. Maybe tomorrow we'll talk about that. But now, here we go. Now we'll talk about the little weird stuff that's happening around town or around the country. In Germany, Berlin. I don't know if you guys have seen this. Probably, if you go to, you know, you can go to foxnews.com, you can go to AOL.com, you can go to Yahoo.com and MSN.com, any.com, shopandsuperhighway.com. You'll probably find these news because this is pretty. You know, it's out there. There's actually a doctor that removed a malignant bone tumor from a woman. It's a 40-pound malignant bone that was removed from a woman. So, wow. And a woman is actually, you know, it happened in Germany, Berlin, Germany. The German doctors there says they've successfully removed a 40-pound malignant bone tumor from a Saudi Arabian woman. And that was done Friday, and the 35-year-old woman had only a few weeks to live when she arrived in Germany to care in September. So she's from Saudi Arabia. But he said that after 5 operations, no traces remain of the bone tumor that once ballooned from her pelvis and made up about a third of her total body weight. She now weighed 82 pounds. So the patient told reporters at the news conference Friday she couldn't believe the size of a tumor that had been removed and added. She actually felt reborn. The medical team said a patient was now well enough to return home. And I click on the photos to look at it, and I just want to make, you know, the color out there. Ooh, it's pretty disturbing. So I'm going to put a warning out there. It's graphic. Do not click on that if you have kids in the house or kids in the computer. Or not just kids. For those who have weak stomach, do not click on that. So, anyway. So, I mean, 40-pound malignant bone from tumor woman. What do you say? What say you? What's your thought on this?
Glory to God that she survived. That it was removed.
Yes. Yeah. So, I mean, how if there's a 40-pound lingam bone tumor from your body, hypothetically now, you know, I mean, would you go do it and just go ahead and say, hey, cut it off, you know, whatever?
Well, probably.
I'll live. Probably.
Love it. It'll be
hypothetically,
let's
say
you're
huh? Say
I
what?
I would have to consult my husband because, you know, because that could be risky in surgery, any kind of surgery. Have to weigh the risk versus the benefit,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Yeah,
if
I mean,
I'm
how
gonna
could
die anyway. I mean, why not?
Right. You know. Yeah. Exactly. So I mean, why would they? It's just 40 pounds. That's just. It's pretty disturbing. Let's move on, shall we now?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, let's just move on here real quick to the other subject here. I think I want to talk about, you know, good news and, you know, the things that cares the most. Let's take a caller real quick. Let's, you know, have him jump in here and then call him from the computer. Go ahead, caller. Who is this?
Hello, everybody.
Hello. Who do you have?
You
Who's this?
Me?
All right.
Huh?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Stop being such a pussy.
Funny guy. All right. Apparently, we have that crazy guy up in the other studio B to stop by and started creating this disturbance. What were we? Okay, yeah, let's talk about, you know, I want to go back to Obama. I'm not done with Obama yet. Okay? And you probably watch CNN. He's probably on a reruns right now, CNN's Fox News or whatnot. Well, Obama talked about the changing the college loan system. Apparently, President Obama said that the surest test for success in the challenging economy is a college degree or other training, yet access to higher education continues to shrink as costs rise. President Obama on Friday actually renewed his call for the government to stop backing private loans to college students and replace them with a direct financial aid to young people, like, you know, have them be more responsible. Those young people, you got to be more responsible. Here's $100,000, whatever you want to do with it. Well, not whatever, but, you know, for college and stuff. So like I said, Obama said the surest test for success in a challenging economy is a college degree. The administration has pushed for federal financial aid to go directly to students, not to banks that lend money to students. Obama said he wants to eliminate the, quote-unquote, middleman lenders that he said added inefficiencies to the system. A move, he said, could open classroom to 8.5 million more students. Ooh, wow. That is a lot. Question, though. I mean, is this really the answer for the economy? I mean, he's using the economy thing, and he says, well, and blaming the economy, and saying that, you know, we need more college degree. I see a lot of people walking around that they have a college degree that they're not actually, you know, I know a guy that, you know, psychology major. I know a guy that's doing something else. I know a guy that is. So what do you take on this, co-host?
Do you really need
a college degree?
I don't think so, because
to fix the economy?
My husband, you know, I mean, like, it's been the way it's been. I mean, my husband, he had a college degree, and even at his job, people that did not have a college degree were getting the better, I don't know how much better paying job, but the higher up positions versus him. He was stuck, you know, at the lower kind of, I mean, that low position, but, you know, he wasn't at a high position at the time. And till maybe 2 or 3 years after he had his college degree, and then finally he was like, hey, you know, I have my college degree, why not promote me? And then they promoted him. You know, and so I don't really think, I think that college degree, I mean, there's going to be if he opens up financially for like 8.5 million students, I mean, there's just going to be a lot of people with college degrees. And I mean, based on history, there's a lot of people with college degree flipping burgers, you know? I mean, I really don't think that's the answer. And why, you know, it's not, I don't think it's worth wasting money on, you know?
Exactly. Exactly. And well, you know, Obama's saying that we have a student loan system that are giving lenders billions of dollars in wasteful subsidies. And he called the system, quote unquote, a paradox of American life that threatens to widen up the gap between the haves and the have-nots. So, I mean, he has this mentality. He says, in order for you to get ahead, I know that he has a college degree. You know, he's at Harvard or whatever. Yeah, he does. But, you know, to get ahead in life is to get a college degree. That's not always the case.
Right.
That's not always the case. You know, I mean, a lot of kids nowadays ending up, you know, borrowing so much money, you know, to get a doctorate degree or whatnot, and ending up spending the rest of half of their lifetime to pay back the student loans.
Yeah.
You know, unless you're going to some kind of a, you know, loan like what do you call that? Community campuses. You know, I mean, that's that would save you money, but it's not going to be the same thing as going to, like, you know, like big schools. Who's going to afford that? And by the time you graduated, you know,
yep.
I mean, you have your fun, and, you know, college fun. Yeah, yes, kids, you know. Again, and when the last time I talked to Sean Walls, I believe, I interviewed him with the author of the Realities and something like that. I forgot the name of the book. But, Dreams and Some of the Realities of Money. It's about financial thing. Yeah, he talked about something about college degree. If you want to get experience, and, you know, go ahead and go to college there, but don't look into that. You know, it's gonna get you ahead in life, or, you know, I don't know. I mean, I'm not saying this. There's, you know, people out there that if you guys want to go to college, go ahead, you know. But, you know, if I could afford it, I probably wouldn't go to Harvard, man. Huh? Oh, So anyway, that's what I am. That's, you know, today's a pick on Obama day, so I'm picking on him. So that's, don't know why, just like you. Yeah, you're right there, Pinto, you're right there. So if you guys, online right now, go to blogtalkradio.com/greatinferno and chat with the great Inferno. Chat with me, or you can go to, or you can call in 347-884-8125. Actually going to take a break, and when I get back, we're going to be talking about so much things, you know, like I'm going to talk about, like, stimulus package for prostitutes. We're going to be talking about the looking for love, not sex. People are looking for love and not sex. And we're going to talk about the British celebrities agreed to donate brains. Get that. Also, we're going to be talking about the violent cities, the most violent cities, or America's most dangerous cities. And also, we're going local. Actually, they found maybe it's another chupacabras. Maybe. We'll figure that out, okay? We'll come back in a minute, and you are listening to The Great Inferno.
Thank you. that the Lord of all the earth would care to know my name, would care to feel my hurt. Who am I that the bright and morning star would choose to light the way for my ever wandering heart? Not because of who I am, but because of what you've done. Not because of what I've done, but because of who you are. I am a flower quickly fading, here today and gone tomorrow. A wave tossed in the ocean, vapor in the wind. Still you hear me when I'm calling. Lord, you catch me when I'm falling. Calm the sea, would call out through the rain and calm the storm in me. Not because of who I am, but because of what you've done. Not because of what I've done, but because of who. Me when I'm falling, you told me who I am.
welcome back. Welcome back. You're probably enjoying the song, Who Am I, by Casting Crowns. Just in case if you're wondering, if you haven't, because they don't really play that out in the mainstream media. You can only find that into one of the Christian radio show. But I like that song. I like it a lot. Let's go back to the talk fest, shall we? You still there, co-host? Go anywhere, did you? You're still there.
I came back.
Right.
Yeah.
Give us a call back again, 347-884-8125. Just hang on or join us on the chat room, blogtalkradio.com/GreatInferno. That's me, your host. So we talked about Obama. We'll just dump that. I'm tired of it. All right. We'll talk about what matters most. Well, actually, economic crisis actually hitting German sex industry. In Berlin, it did not take long for the world financial crisis to affect the world's oldest professions in Germany. What is that, you might say? It's prostitution. It's one of the few countries where prostitution is legal and unusually transparent. The industry has responded with an economic stimulus package of its own, like modern marketing tools, rebates, and gimmicks to boost falling demand. It's no secret that nearly every profession around the globe, yes, is feeling the effects. Oh, yes. Even prostitution in Germany, where the world's oldest profession is legal. And did I just say that? Yes, I already said. Okay. Now, they're talking about, marketing tools, maybe buy one, get my friends free, or something like that. I don't know how they're going to do that. But we all know that we have a state that prostitution is illegal here in the United States. It's actually, Nevada. That's right. It's what they actually have in Europe. They actually have an annual revenue is about 14 billion euros. That's $18 billion annually. And according to an estimate by the Verdi Service Union, and also taxes on prostitution are an important source of an income for some cities. Prostitution is also legal and regulated, I might add, in the Netherlands, Austria, Switzerland, Hungary, Greece, Turkey, and some part of Australia. And not to mention, I already mentioned it again, in the state of Nevada. In other countries such as Luxembourg, Latvia, Denmark, Belgium, and Finland, it is legal, but brothels, pimping are not easy over there. So it's illegal to pimp, but prostitution, it's okay. I don't get that. I don't know. Let me get your thought on this, co-host. What do you think? Hypothetically, you run a prostitution industry, or you run that. Okay, no, you don't. But what's stopping people in Europe before going to prostitution, for using prostitutes? I don't know. I'm sick and tired of saying prostitutes today. That's it. So what do you think their numbers down? Is it the real economy, or is it maybe something else?
It could be the economy, but it could also be the economy suffering because people, maybe people are praying that prostitution would be decreased. And it could be an answer to prayer that the financial troubles that the country is incurring, I think is the word, so that less people will be sinning in that particular way. And also, aren't those places I'm not sure, but aren't those places where human trafficking, people get kidnapped and they take them to places like that?
Yeah, there's a lot of things that happen like that. Mm-hmm. You're right.
Maybe the government is in control of that. If the pimps are out, maybe the government's in control. I don't know. I don't know why people would be trafficking or,
Well, they're creating a lot of stuff, a lot of creative ways, the solutions to get their numbers up. They're doing a flat rate, and also the mission charge including all you can eat food, drink, and sex between 10 a.m. and 4 p.m. So you know, they're doing that because it's legal. It's just like, you know, gambling. It's just, you know, over there. You know, like in Nevada, it's like, man, that's, you know, that's legal. You know what I mean? So the owner of the club says, you got to come up with this creative solution these days, end quote. And he added that we're feeling the economic crisis also, even though business has fortunately been more or less okay for us so far. So it's, they're not dying, or they're not, you know what I mean? So they just money, or some like people don't want to spend that much. So that kind of junk with, you know, I don't believe them. What they need is, you know, a revelation over there. Mm-hmm. So so that's what happened, and it's good. I mean, hopefully that's, you know, they even go down to the bottom, you know, and then they'll mm-hmm. be put out of business.
Yeah.
You know, and that's it sucks to be them. So they're gonna have to find like other sources of income, like mm-hmm. maybe selling their goats or animals and stuff like that. Not for sex, just for you know, farm
right,
and
right.
meat
and
stuff like
mm-hmm.
that to eat. So,
yep.
What do you think? You agree?
I have comments of, yeah, I do agree that they should have, that it should hit rock bottom and that people will find other source of income.
Mm-hmm.
I do have a comment that just because the government says it's okay does not mean it's okay. You know, just like, I mean, like here in America, abortion is legal, but does not make it okay. And if you don't know God and you don't know God's laws, then if the government says it's okay, a lot of people think it's okay. It's not okay, you know. And
of course
my,
not.
My comment
of course
is that
not.
Just because government says something's okay doesn't mean that it is okay with God.
Right, and that's why, you know, prostitution should just stay in Nevada or get rid of it in Nevada, you know. But it's a billion-dollar industry, so they can't just like, get rid of it. You know, they can't. Even the politician, when they look at the numbers and go, whoa, you know, that's a big number there. We can't get rid of that, you know. Even though it's bad and it's just when they see the money, they just, you know, I won't touch that. So, anyway, let's jump into other subject because that's kind of, I don't like that, so... Will do, shall we? And we're going to be talking about brains. This is what, you know, I'm in Britain. They actually, celebrities over there some of the celebrities agreed to donate brains. So actually, there's only two right now, for now. They actually have signed on to donate their brains for Parkinson research as part of a national appeal to for others to do the same. So the British Parkinson Disease Society, called PDS, is asking people across the UK to agree to donate to the largest Parkinson brain bank in the crowd. That's ABC News reported that. And like British celebrity Jeremy Paxman and Jane Asher, I don't know who they are, but I think I remember them. Yeah, I remember their faces. I just don't remember their names, but they both agreed to donate their brains for Parkinson's disease research as part of the national appeal, okay? Paxman is a TV host, Asher is an actress, and president of the British Parkinson's Disease Society. Donating their brain, so, I'm in Hollywood, I think they would, you know, maybe reconsider that, or maybe get a, you know, few of them. Few Hollywood celebrity that I like, but anyway, that's because of the brain. But I think they're just too. I don't know. I think they think they're some of them are self-centered. Most people are. Some of them. But the question is, would you feel comfortable donating your brain for disease research? To you?
Are they donating it when they're still alive?
Yeah, brain transplant, that would be hilarious. No, actually, it's
like,
when they, you know, maybe when they pass away, when they're diseased.
Well,
and,
that's what,
you know,
well, unless they have Parkinson's disease, how do they, like when you
I think,
die,
that's
doesn't
to
your
say,
brain
was,
die? And then there's no oxygen to your brain, so will it even still be good? That's my question. And my comment is really a question, is that does it even make sense? I mean, I thought that you die because, you know, not, because God takes your spirit from you, you know, and the breath of life from you, but I thought, you know, also your brain dies along with that, so.
Yeah, there's a lot of people. It's an unfortunate, you know, disease. Reports is of 1 in 500 Britons has a Parkinson's. There's about 1.5 million Americans that are afflicted. That's according to the U.S. National Parkinson Foundation, and another 60,000 new cases are diagnosed each year. It usually develops after the age of 65. But 15% of those diagnosed are younger than 50.
Yeah.
Fox, you know, remember
yep.
Michael J. Fox?
Yep.
He's actually diagnosed at the age of 30. Advocates say more brain research is needed in the hunt for a cure, but a PDS commission survey found that although more than 60% of Britons are comfortable donating a heart or kidney, just 7% are comfortable with the idea of brain donations. So they, you know, there's a push with this various celebrities. As, you know, it's a good cause, and I gave them kudos for this. And I gave them like, hey, donating brains, it's okay. Just like donating your other parts of your body, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, why would you, if you were given like two, let's say, organs or body parts that can be donated, what would that be? Two of them. Name two.
Kidneys and liver?
That's good. Yeah, probably mine is, I don't know about kidney, but liver. Oh, excuse me, I just sneezed there. Wow, that was good. And maybe for just research, you know, for research and stuff, maybe testicles. You know, if you want to do research on my testicles, I would lovely to, like, maybe donate those.
Do you think that
it's not a laughing matter.
If you're married, do you think your wife would like that?
Well, I'm saying when you're diseased, not when you're, like, still alive.
Maybe she wants to keep your testicles in a jar on the shelf to remind her of you.
Oh, that would be weird. You know, I have that in a coffee table somewhere. And go, what is that? Oh, that's my husband's testicles. Yeah, let's not go there because it's not going to work. Not gonna work, but you know, I mean, it's not. I'm not trying to be funny or anything like that. But that's what I want. Like, you know, the two of them. That's like, you know, liver and my testicles. So, you know, and maybe I don't know. Maybe kidney. I don't know. I just don't have that. Yeah, just like having. You know, I kind of a little feel eerie when you have this eerie feeling when they talk about your brain. And your kidney,
yeah,
you know, it's like donating your brain, but you know, but two celebrities out here that in Britain is, you know, doing that for a good cause. Actually, it set the standard, you know, this like a call out to those people saying that, hey, it's okay to donate brains. You know, let's do that. You know, you guys are donating. You know, some of you guys donating kidneys and all that. And why not brain? Brain is, you know, it's cool. It's donating brain is cool. So that's what they're trying to push out there. And American, you know, like I said, Hollywood celebrities should do the same. Now, let's move on, shall we? Let's talk about something else here, because it's getting to the point that we are going for a landing, maybe in a little bit. So we got to keep going here. We got to keep going here. Now, let's talk about America's most dangerous cities. Let's see. Oh, look at that. Surprisingly, Detroit is currently the most dangerous U.S. city of all time.
You said Detroit?
Detroit. Yeah, Detroit, Michigan. And here's number one. Let's go from number... Well, we'll cut it down to number five because we're, you know, for the sake of time. Number five, Stockton, California. It's in the California metropolitan statistical area. It's actually a population of 684,000, the violent crimes per thousand for 100,000 is 885. So not a lot, but, you know, it's out there. It's up there. It's actually number four at Las Vegas, Nevada. We were just talking about that. It's the paradise, metropolitan statistical area there. And violent crimes is actually 887 per 100,000. Number three is Miami, Florida. Wow. I'm surprised. Yeah. Miami, Florida, it's like Miami Beach, Kendall. It's a metropolitan statistical area. It's a violent, the crime rates or the violent crimes per 100,000 is 988. Memphis, Tennessee. It's actually 1,218 per 100,000 violent crimes per. Wow. So number one, I said it already. Detroit, Michigan, exactly 1,220. It's not that far. It's only difference like 2 points, I believe, the difference from the Memphis, Tennessee, and Detroit. That's really, it's right in there, right neck to neck. Memphis, Tennessee, you way to go. Population violent crimes 1,220 for the violent crimes per 100,000. In Detroit, it's because, you know, I don't know, Motown Blues, that's what they're having. And let's ditch that real quick because it's not really looking. Okay, let's go into, I want to talk about, you know, I want to spend some a little time in here talking about the people looking, turning into social networking or any other site, not just MySpace or Facebook, looking for love, and, well, some of them are finding AIDS. That's what they're looking for. That's just awful. Awful, awful people out there. Okay, there's, you can see that if you go to AshleyMadison.com, it says Life is Short, Have an Affair. It urges in that site. A social networking site for married couple looking for extracurricular love. That should be shut down. And visit an erotic chat or meetup for anything goes. On gay.com, check out Cry Candy, a 22-year-old California man who is looking for a hookup and insists, I am not gay, just like sleeping with me. What? Dude, you're gay. On Craigslist, actually, Craigslist.org, and there's a sex seeker. And going, like, can go preference shopping for sex. They're shopping for sex on Craigslist. Oh, my goodness. Social networking sites, connect friends and all that stuff, like Facebook, MySpace, and they do prohibit anything, something like that. But, you know, sometimes you can't, like, really protect those or, you know, kind of discourage us from other people looking for sex, not for love. You know what you need to do? Look for love, not for sex, okay, people? Now, questions. What is the difference between love and sex? I'm asking you, Carla. I'm asking you, co-host, what is the difference between love?
Well,
love is sex.
Is that you want to spend the rest of life with somebody, and that, you know, love endures hard times and good times, you know, and love, what I mean is, like, you know, sometimes you're with somebody for a while.
Right.
And then after a while, you know, you get those pet peeves where they, like, don't put the toothpaste cap back on or something, and then it irritates you. But if you love them, you got to, like, deal with it, you know. And some people will say sex, you know, is different than making love. Making love is, like, where you love the person. Sex is, like, force, you know. So,
right.
So, yeah, I think that, you know, you should love somebody, get married, and then have sex or make love to them, you know, and be,
right.
I think the word is monogamous, where it's just you and just
right.
them, and that's it, and, you know,
well,
until death do you part. And I'm not saying it's easy. I think that people need God for strength to endure marriage.
Right,
yeah.
Right. No,
because,
the difference, let me jump in there real quick, and it says, you know, love and sex, it's like comparing, you know, a seed from the apple, if you are referring to sex addicts, okay? Sex addicts is actually, you know, they don't want love. They don't want a new commitment. They don't want a responsibility.
Yep.
You know, that's why they prefer sex. You know, I'm just like, what do you mean love? I don't need love as long as I get sex. You know, I don't care who you look, you know. That's why to get all this, there's actually the dating sites and all that. It's an estimated 16 million people say that they have used websites to meet other people, you know, according to a report prepared by one of the internet companies out there. A gay man, in particular, had benefited from the privacy of the internet, with 40% reporting they use it to find sex partners. According to the study cited by the University of California, San Francisco AIDS Research Institute, so they're looking. They're not looking for love. They're not looking for sex in there. You know what they find in there? AIDS, mostly. Yeah. These sites are a great temptation for those who suffer from sexual addictions, said the doctor, Dr. Kristen Rice, an infectious disease specialist from the University of Utah Hospitals and Clinics. I am especially worried about some of the younger generation who are so internet savvy, but who seem nonchalant about the seriousness of HIV and AIDS. Well, you know, you have to teach those kids, you know, find out, hey, look, kids, you know, the difference between sex and love is in sex. If you, you know, doing like multiple partners and stuff, you are prone to get HIV disease. Mm-hmm. But if you have a disease called wangina, that's just wrong. But let me get a caller in there. They called wangina disease when you're married. Anyway, that way I said it. 3944, get in here real quick.
Just getting into the conversation.
You are. Man, what happened to you, right, dog?
What's that?
Say, what happened to you?
I tried calling in earlier, and it was all music. I was like, I'm confused.
That's what I sometimes I play music. But anyway, love, sex. What's the difference between sex and love?
You know, there's a difference between making love and having sex. You know, there's those corny guys with the slicks back here who tell the girls, you know, they want to make love, but in reality, they just want to make sex, you know? I think unless you're, like, in love with the person, there is no such thing as make love. I think the whole explanation, the whole figure of speech of saying, I want to make love in the club, as the song would go, is ridiculous, because if you are actually going to fornicate in a club with a girl that you probably just met, I doubt that's really love. I think they should just say, I want to have sex.
You nailed it, man. That's right. And like I said, there's a lot of people out there, you know, they're not looking for love out on the internet. They're looking for sex because they're sex addicts, you know. And then when they find sex, you know what I end up with? Majority of them end up with AIDS. Okay, real quick, let's throw in something over here. I want to talk about this. You know, it's not Dutch County, right? And they had actually found they don't know what it was. Is it a wolf? Is it a dog? Or, you know, I think it's another chupacabra. What do you think, Nate Dog?
What did they find? They found like remnants of an animal that they don't know
carcass,
what it is.
Yeah, a carcass likely that of wolf. They said it was an argument and says, oh, it's too big to be a wolf. No, it's not coyote. It's a dog. You know.
Well, there's freaks in nature all the time. I mean, they got. What are they, wild boars or something in Africa, but Texas, that are the size of, like, miniature cows? I mean, it's probably just another mutated animal, you know?
Yeah. That's too close for comfort. Isn't that your neighborhood right there?
Chupacabra?
No, I mean, the Dodge County. Isn't that, like, your...
Oh, I'm in Columbia, man.
Oh, you're in Columbia.
I'm in Columbia and Dane myself. I've never lived in Dodge.
Oh,
I don't even know what the hell is Dodge.
I'm gonna go check it out.
I'm a Chevy man.
You serious, man? I'm going to go check it out, man. Yeah. But anyway, hey, thanks for stopping by, Ned Dog. We'll do this again, okay? So when you hear some songs like that, you know, just stay online, because I usually play songs like, you know, bands and stuff like that. So stick around, dude. Hey, thanks for stopping by, all right?
All right, bye.
All right, bud. Co-host, what do you say? You got 10 seconds.
Definitely wait till marriage to have sex, and so, yep, that's what I have to say. And you can visit our shop, shoppingsuperhighway.com, my husband and my website, and you can even get toilet paper from there.
All right, thanks a lot. Again, blogtalkradio.com/GreatInferno, next time.